It is November 30th, 2017 at 7 o'clock, calling the Historic Preservation Commission meeting to order. Calling the roll, Commissioner Prestis.
Here.
Commissioner Popowitz.
Yep.
Commissioner Raina Ogden.
Mm-hmm.
Chairman Zarowski.
Here.
Commissioner Graham White.
Here.
Commissioner Pritz.
Here.
Commissioner Franning.
Here.
We have a quorum.
But we have no audience.
How can we perform?
New record, Tom.
Yeah. No public.
I think this is a new record. Have we ever had nobody show up?
Not the time I've been here.
I think we have, but it's been a long run of so many people that we forgot what that was like. But we have, absolutely. Yeah.
Back in the day.
Man. Yeah.
back when I was coming. There is no public testimony. Does anybody have anything to say about the meeting minutes?
One comment in section 3, in the first paragraph at the end of the sentence. I want to clarify this. My thought is not with respect to the bias in any given report, but rather the natural tendency of all experts to advocate on behalf of their clients.
Person that paid him.
Okay.
You got it.
Even non-experts are non-structural engineers.
True.
Okay, so anybody want to move to
so move to accept.
Approve based upon that check? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so let's talk about 747 William. We have a meeting on Tuesday, which I'm so looking forward to.
I have a couple of notes to share from my conversation with the village attorney prior to the meeting. So number one would be, just in terms of order, because in order to have hard, steadfast rules in the public hearing, the commission would have to have those written into their ordinance, which we can do and should probably consider doing in the future. However, the chairman still has...
I can still request that people
general
their comments.
Exactly. General rule of the meeting. So I just think it would be best for everybody if we start out with, you know, the pleads of, you know, please keep it short. That, you know, that time works for me. If it works for you, you know, we encourage anybody that's a group of one person, have a spokesperson, you know, to come up and speak on people's behalf. Feel free to, you know, the commission will recognize you saying that you second somebody else rather than completely restating it. Keep things, you know, germane to the conversation. All those good things. So there's nothing wrong with that. We just can't do any steadfast, hard rules, but we'll keep everybody on pace. And
we can't have a timer.
And we can't at this hearing, but we should write those into our rules that in the future we can if that's something we want to do.
Is that something that the trustees need to approve?
I don't think so. I think it would be something that the commission would approve. But at this point, the option would be.
And we really, it's not appropriate that we do it at this meeting because that would be.
I think that's right.
Chicanery.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think that in this case, all of the people, I think the commission and the public are working toward a common goal, and so I think if we were to. You know, keep everybody on the understanding that we're trying to be respectful of everybody's time. We can keep things moving along that way. The second thing that I would relate is the understanding of the 60 days. So we've called the public hearing within the 60 days, and then it says that we will render the decision within 15 days of closing the public hearing. So after the public gives the comment, what we'll do is the commission can discuss what motion it might want to make, but we won't close the public hearing until the chairman's confident that we're ready to make and vote on that motion. Because once we close it, you can't really reopen it without re-noticing, and then it puts us on that 15 days. So just in the event that you wanted to keep your option open to continue the public hearing.
Request additional.
Yeah, to continue the public hearing, we won't close it until we're ready to make that motion. That's Tuesday night, great.
Are there these notes that I should be keeping for myself?
I'll be there, and I have them all. So
you'll coach me?
Yeah. What it'll be is we the meeting will start. The village attorney will tell everybody that, you know, they're swearing to speak the truth here. We'll open the public hearing, and then really we won't do anything else until we're ready. You're confident that you're ready to hear a motion to approve or deny the certificate of appropriateness. When we get to that point, the first motion will actually be to close the public hearing. Once we close it, we'll hear the other motion.
Closing it means the audience has to leave, or closing it just means
we're done talking about it.
Just means the record is closed. Right?
Yep, exactly. It's important for this reason. In the event that the applicant, for example, in this case, wanted to appeal to the village board, it's everything as part of the public hearing that becomes part of this running record application thing to be considered. And so everything said during that public hearing, everything provided would be considered in that. It's really just, it's sort of a technicality, but I didn't want it to close the public hearing, because then you can't later decide that you want to continue and want more time beyond that other 15 days.
We don't have to render a decision as soon as we close it, do we? We can have another meeting or think about it beyond that.
Once the hearing is closed, it's 15 days to render the decision and cause it upon the applicant in writing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if the commission wanted to schedule another meeting to vote on that, we could.
If for some reason somebody couldn't be there, that
right.
we feel yeah. is an important.
But we need a 2-week notice for a meeting. What's the
no.
15 days? No, we don't.
We would continue the public hearing.
It would be announced at that meeting where all concerned parties would be present. And
if you needed to continue the discussion, right. Yes.
You could continue the discussion on another day. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If you don't close the public hearing at that time.
Yeah.
If for some reason we don't feel like we've gotten all the information.
If you wanted to close, you could, I guess, close the public hearing. You have 15 days to make the decision, so the commission could meet the next week on the order of taking that action. But, I mean, I think at that point you might as well just leave it.
What do we think is going to happen? I'm sorry, I got a little bit confused. My first public hearing.
Yeah.
Do we
this commission
close
first.
The hearing, and then do we think we're going to vote that night on the action, or do we think that
that's
we're...
That's what he's saying. Is,
yeah, that's what I don't understand.
What is he saying?
He's saying that we don't have to vote on it that night.
Right.
And we don't even have to close the meeting that night if for some reason... It feels like not everybody's piece has been set.
So if you
say,
feel
say,
like,
say
like
it's gone until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Historic site. Oh,
it's gone until 1 o'clock
great
in the morning,
example.
And you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah. We can say we're going to
the guy who's, you know, the guy that bought 747 isn't here.
Yeah.
Or you know, whatever. And just something stupid that
massive,
you know,
snowstorm.
Just my my recommendation would be that the commission does not close the public hearing until it is ready to take a vote. That gives everybody the most amount of flexibility to continue to whatever date necessary.
Oh, I see. So if at the end of the evening we wanted a week before we voted on this, we shouldn't close it then. We should leave it open.
Technically a week would be okay. When you close the public hearing, you're committing to rendering a decision within 15
days.
And on the record that exists at the time you close the hearing.
Correct.
That's right. So that if we want additional comments from the public, or we want to talk amongst ourselves on the record, because anything we say, the record will form the basis, the four corners, if you will, that the applicant could use to appeal if the applicant wished to appeal.
To the village trustees.
To the village trustees.
If they don't like what we say, they can go to the village trustees and say, hey, they didn't give us a certificate of appropriateness. We don't think their judgment was fair. What do you guys think?
Okay.
And then they get the final say. And so.
And I'm not saying any of this will or won't be.
No, I understand.
It's the first time we've done it.
It's best to know the parameters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all we're doing.
This is what the process that was set forth in the revised ordinance.
So we think the agenda is, we open the meeting, or you open the meeting. I think you open the meeting.
I think so.
The village attorney stands up and makes these comments.
Shakes his finger at everybody and says,
Yeah, right.
You best behave.
Yeah, behave. Then you're going to make some comments relative to, listen,
it's
we'd appreciate
the ground rules,
it if you would
the ground, say, let's,
yeah, the ground
let's,
rules.
Let's agree that this is the deal.
That runs as long as you let it run, right? I mean, can that be cut off, or do you have to let everybody speak?
What he's saying is we have to let everybody speak, but we can kind of say, we can make a statement, you know, please be respectful of people's time.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. And then you're at a decision point. Like, no, right. Anybody else?
Everybody's
no?
done.
And now you're at a decision point
to
say,
then
I want
to
close
point where
this.
I get to say, okay, it seems like it's clearly, we've got all the information, and it's time to take a vote. Or
it's time to discuss
or
amongst ourselves.
Or, yeah, we've heard enough, and we'd like, you know, maybe we'll reconvene in a week to talk about what we've heard after we've digested it.
Yeah.
And is the tentative plan to do it, and I understand we're just spitballing here, is the tentative plan to do it the way we just described, where public, you know, okay, no, anybody else, no, reconvene in a week, or is sort of the default or best practice to say, okay, the public comments are closed, discuss amongst ourselves at that point immediately, and vote all in one package deal. In other words, kind of our. Am I being
what's
clear?
The preferred, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm just trying to understand.
Part of it
what
has to do
prefer.
How late it is. You know, if it's, you know, 11 o'clock at night.
Uh huh.
None of us may be in a mood to.
I'm hoping the public comment period doesn't take 4 hours, but I guess I don't.
You never know.
Uh huh.
Right. The ones I've attended, even at that point, there's almost overwhelmed. So much information, you want to sit down and think
right.
about it and a little bit later.
That's true.
Yeah. Further discussion as well. So.
If you think and go back to when we were talking about our review of certain aspects of the survey when we went to 11 or 11:15, I know I was fairly fried, and I think most of the other commissioners were as well. So under those circumstances, let's continue.
Yeah.
Is it legitimate to set a time limit? For example, could we say that we're going to close the meeting at?
What he's saying, no.
But
is that what he's saying?
Could you say that?
We cannot say that.
You're talking. I think you're talking about two different things. You could close the meeting at 11 o'clock and say we're continuing this next Tuesday.
Yeah.
That you could do.
Correct.
What you can't do is say it's a hard 3 minutes for everybody. That you can't.
Or we're closing the meeting after 2 hours.
Right.
Or you could say that. So
no, you can't say that.
He's saying we can't say that.
You could not close. You could continue the meeting.
Right.
Oh, yeah, okay,
correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
How much advance notice has to be given to reconvene?
None.
So if we wanted to do it the day after,
we would continue.
Theoretically.
No, it wouldn't be the day after. It could be 2 days after, I guess.
Okay.
Because
you did that 48 hours.
You follow the normal public meeting, Illinois public meeting things, to 48 hours notice. But, yeah.
And you would announce to everyone present that we're going to meeting again in
48
a
hours,
week or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So they all know ahead. They all know.
That's right.
Yeah.
Should we have a strategy for that ahead of time?
Yeah.
Well, I'm asking if
we
want to put
should.
A time. That was my point of my question.
We
do you want to cut
that
it
that
off at
sense.
10:30?
If we think we might do that, then we should just say.
Just to be prepared.
Ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even what I'm saying, no, is should we say, hey, okay, if we think we need to get back together again, let's all check our calendars
now
instead of doing that.
Let's do that.
In front of the public.
I think that's a good idea.
Let's do it right. Let's do it.
I would obviously defer to you, Tom, but I would favor kind of going in with a default plan, which is hear all the public comment and you know, if it gets repetitive or lengthy, just sweat it out.
As long as we get coffee.
And you know, assuming it goes within the range of what's reasonably expected, we're probably going to have quite a bit of information we're going to want to consider and digest. So a default plan that we hear it all, because if we stop it at 2 hours, there's just going to be another 2 hours, and if we stopped that at 2 hours, there's going to be another. So I would My thinking is
here, take it all in.
Take the time we need to ruminate on it, reconvene. We, at that point, you know, we will have prepared our own prepared thoughts, remarks, quick questions for each other, whatever. Yeah. Have that in discussion, you know, where we're with fresh eyes, you know, part two, and take a vote.
Yep.
Again, I'm not trying to dictate anything to anybody.
But I think it's perfect sense.
But I also think we should plan on scheduling that meeting tonight.
Yes.
So that we
like right now.
Right now and see. Do we want, so what are we aiming for, a week later?
I'd say a week later.
A week, that would be reasonable.
Okay. So on Monday the 11th.
Tuesday the 12th.
Well, Monday the 11th, I'm heading out of town.
Tuesday the 12th, I'm not available.
Yeah.
You're out that whole week?
Monday the
11th? No, I'm out the 11th. I'm concerned about just coming back because of where I'm going, but I would, I think, be at latest, be back on the Tuesday. So if Al can't make it on the Tuesday, I can't make it on the Monday. Wednesday would be fine with me.
I could do Wednesday, Thursday.
The sooner the better,
Let's
think.
Do Wednesday. Wednesday the 13th.
Wednesday the 13th.
The 13th?
The 13th, Wednesday.
Got a sister-in-law's birthday party at Fitzgerald's.
We could meet there.
I could probably.
You want to make it or not?
If everyone else can make the 13th, I'll make it work.
I mean, do we do the 14th?
I can do the 14th's okay, too.
It's fine by me.
14th, it works for me as well.
14th does not work.
It does not work.
And the 15th is a Friday, right?
And 15th is a Friday.
Which doesn't work either.
Yeah, that's my wife's birthday, so.
All right.
Priorities.
So bring her along.
Yeah, that's her dream.
Bring
day.
The party to the meeting.
Oh, that's all we need.
Can we meet at Fitzgerald?
It's a big band dance thing, so. I can, I'll get out.
Okay.
HPC.
13th?
Wednesday.
Where?
Here. Well, it's
Noel.
Probably not in this room. Is this room scheduled?
Back to Lincoln?
Could it be in this room? Is that what you're asking?
That's the question, yeah. Is it here or is it upstairs?
I would try not to do it upstairs. I think we're open.
Would that be enough room in here? If we're going to Lincoln School for the first
No, what we're saying is the public will have its opportunity to speak.
Right.
The meeting here will be for us to discuss. So I think it'll make sure.
Though, will that second meeting garner, for those of you with more experience, quite a bit of attention? You know, I mean, if are 50% of the people who show up at meeting one going to come to meeting two to hear what we say and see how we vote, or is it going to be like this?
Oh, I think they'll show up.
I don't think all of them show up.
No, but I think a large chunk
will. Do you think this room will accommodate people?
Should we try for Lincoln School, school again? Can we get it?
I mean, to me, it's purely a question of the best guess, and I'm the least informed.
It is the
numbers.
Best guess.
I think they'll handle it. They stand up in the back.
We've jammed a lot of people in this room before.
Okay.
They could be sitting right up
that doesn't
to
mean
the...
I'd rather a packed small room than an empty, huge room.
Yeah, of course.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, under that, that's fair. Okay, so Wednesday, 12, 13.
It's like a wedding.
At 7 o'clock. But we'll
party in your kitchen.
But we're only holding that meeting if it's a continuation.
Right.
Otherwise, we would not.
Correct.
Okay.
Can I make a suggestion, John, that the police be notified that there's probably going to be a lot of folks parking on the streets that may go beyond, what was it, the 9:30?
You mean on the 13th or on the 5th?
On the 5th.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of parking at Lincoln.
Okay.
Okay.
There's a way to.
Should there be a police officer or two at Lincoln? I think there should be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What are you worried about?
For what?
Mm-hmm. For what? You don't think it's necessary? Okay.
No, I'm just trying to understand.
My point is, some people may be emotionally involved, so emotionally involved as to be disruptive.
No.
This isn't Vietnam.
Right,
I mean,
forget it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just being paranoid. Fine.
Yep.
Yeah, the one time when we did something akin to this, when we were talking about the modifications to the ordinance, and we held a mass hearing. I just suggested that people be respectful, not only of the other members of the community in the audience, but also the other the members of the commission. And everybody was fine.
Good.
We didn't have anybody that got really out of it.
With the open, accepting city, whatever that, sanctuary city. And then people fighting both ways on that one.
Boy, did you miss a bunch of interesting stuff.
We just disbanded the commission, I'm sorry to inform you. No.
No. No. You are the public.
That's December 5th. We'll have a full room. Yeah.
Okay. So, just to repeat the logistics for the meeting on the 5th. That's at Lincoln at 7 o'clock.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Just in the gym. Where I mean.
Auditorium.
It's the auditorium.
Yeah, auditorium.
Okay. All right. So we'll hold that date. And then, yeah, I think it's just whatever's reasonable. I think on some level, although some of the comments will be reiterated because it's the public hearing, the commission's heard a lot of public comment on this issue already. I don't know to what degree there'll be new material. So that might play a weight in when you want to make your decision, too. And then I think the second thing is mostly the timing. Is it 8:30? Is it 10:30? What time is it when we get to that point and we can make our decision there? So, I think that makes sense to me.
Have the materials that have been submitted either to the commission as a whole or to one person or another and circulated more widely concerning this particular issue all been made part of the record? Have those all been sort of shoveled in? I mean, you know, we've gotten some one-off letters. We got someone's mom who sent a letter from Asia. Yeah, we got all kinds of stuff. I just wanted to make sure that
they're not part of the application for the public notice because that's the application for the prepared by the applicant.
Yeah, understood.
So we will bring them in at the public hearing.
Yeah, what I mean is for purposes of the record that would be reviewed in connection with a potential appeal. I just wanted to make sure we didn't have an inadvertent footfall where there were materials that we as a group would deem obviously relevant, but that somehow weren't made appropriately part of the record. And so I just want to make sure we follow.
I think the proper procedure on that is to, you know, the chairman can say that we've received these letters. And I know of two letters and a petition to say we've received those. And I think that would do that, but I'll double check to make sure that's the proper steps. So,
what about the various, folks have had various books, chapters of books, photocopies, newspaper articles, and their possession. People have held things up, and other people have nodded and said, "What a fantastic book!" Is there a way, an appropriate way to ensure that the record also includes those materials? Because from my standpoint, as someone potentially considering an appeal would deem that stuff awfully relevant.
I'll check on that too.
I'd want them to see if someone were appealing this, I would want them to see what has been written by professionals in the field from a neutral, because those are neutrals who aren't considering this particular decision, but have taken a hard and expert look at this property and this block and said things that I would think are very relevant to the decision about whether to destroy the house.
I will get that answer on what the proper procedure is from the village attorney tomorrow, and we'll include that in there.
Because we could bring them and mark them at the hearing, or...
Once I get that answer, I will send it to you via email tomorrow morning, letting you know what the village attorney's answer is on what the appropriate way to bring those into the record.
Okay.
I have both books and several articles copied and such.
Yeah, so I'd love to see those in the made part of the record. Uh-huh. And similarly, if when people come and speak, if they, people bring things.
Could they?
Is there a way to mark and move those into the record? Or is that inappropriate or unnecessary? I just don't know. But again, I'd hate for there to be highly relevant material that we saw and were aware of, but that a reviewing person had no access to.
Scratch their head, and go, "Oh, that sounds relevant," but I don't.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna, subpoena the stuff. So, oh well, I don't. So now I never see it.
You got it. Understood.
Good point.
Can we also, at the agenda, I thought this helped, and we did it in one of the hearings or one of our meetings, which was to say, here's what the here's what the ordinance allows us to do. Because I think there's a lot of people who think that we can say, you can't tear down the house. And I think that that's very emotional.
Maybe summarize what
Yeah, John did a great job of that in one of the meetings.
Process is?
He said, here's what the ordinance allows. You can, you know, he's asking for a certificate of appropriateness. That's this. You know, there's two actions outlined in the ordinance as to what we can do. We can grant it, which would mean he could tear it down immediately, or we can not grant it, which means in 6 months he can tear it down. And I think a lot of people, when they heard that, were like, oh, I thought we could stop that. Now, you outlined at that case, and we can discuss whether to do this. We said, or there's a third option, which is we can enter into negotiations and provide the certificate of appropriateness with conditions if he accepts it. And that just seemed to give everybody a foundation on which to kind of measure the comments that came after.
John sent a really good timeline to us several weeks ago that I thought, ooh, I kept it on my desktop open. So I thought that's really good to just kind of look in terms of by this date, and then the final.
I agree with Michael's point, and in addition, you know, I have a concern that absent some kind of explanation, we're going to get a whole bunch of comments about, you know, and the commission should vote to ban this demolition. It's sort of like,
yeah, we can't do that.
You know, right?
And I really think that helped people. The comments that came after, people seemed to orient them towards the choices, right, which
so
was good.
Sort of the purpose of this meeting is right. X, and the decision, the potential decisions are Y and Z.
Yeah.
Could that be a handout that people could get as
that would
they
be
come
awesome.
In?
That's
a
great idea.
So then they know exactly what the expectations are, that no, we cannot ban the decision. Oh, it says right there. No, no, no,
yeah.
We can't do it.
Summary of the ordinance, mm-hmm. Right? The ordinance provides, you know, when
maybe we just project the flow diagram.
Yeah.
Up on the
mm-hmm. on the screen.
I would be I would be comfortable printing the flow diagram for people to have as they come in.
I think you still have to explain that.
I get that, but
I don't
want to get into the business of
writing something
of summarizing the ordinance because
the ordinance
it is.
Well, and there's just room to create what is objectively error.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and who needs that?
Right.
I mean, you could read what occurred to me is you could show or read something that exists. I mean, there is the ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
There is also the summary that exists on our website. I mean, that just is what it is.
And the flow chart.
Yeah,
which I think to the layperson are the most helpful thing. But
the ordinance is really well written and easy to read. So if we're going to do the flow charts, what if we have copies of the ordinance there and then you just summarize it like we discussed? Because then anybody sitting there has the whole thing in front of him.
But what we just said is that he shouldn't summarize it because
he was uncomfortable writing it off.
There's a risk of him mis-summarizing it and misrepresenting what it is.
Even more so than that, just the fact that by including something but not everything, there's other parts that, you know, why did you include this and not that?
Then somebody could sue somebody.
I just don't think it's fair.
Because it was...
But isn't there an easy point, which is to say, you could say, you know, the purpose of this meeting is to determine whether or not to issue a certificate of appropriateness with respect to the demolition of 747.
Yeah.
I
think outlining the decision to be made and some of the outcomes is different than summarizing the ordinance.
Okay. Really uncontroversial.
So, but are you comfortable saying what you said in the other commission meeting?
Yeah, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think that the sticky part is the conditions because they're not outlined in the ordinance. It's something that the village attorney is opining that they're in the spirit of the ordinance and that the commission has the ability to render a decision on a delay of up to 6 months. So if they want to do for something less than that for in exchange for something, that's part of your decision power in making that decision, but it's not spelled out in the ordinance. So
if it's not in the ordinance and we don't say it,
I get it, and
I don't think this is the probable track, but if we go down that track and say, and here's what we did, and people are like, that's not the ordinance, then we've got people who are upset because we're doing something that they can't attach to what they've got in their hand. And, you know...
I mean, if the commission wants me to do that, I think we can do that.
Did I understand you to say that the village attorney would be at that meeting, or did I mishear that?
Sounds like he's going to be there.
Yes.
He's going to be there for this December 5th meeting.
Yes, it's actually a colleague of his, but yes, an attorney from his office.
Attorney.
Yes, exactly. Who's been looped in on the situation, lengthy calls.
Just the statement that this is what our ordinance currently allows us to do implies maybe we should have a little more power in the future when you come to the meeting, we have to read up the ordinance.
To me, it is the number one point of confusion, because we actually take flack when people get the perception that we allowed the demolition, despite the fact that we have no ability to preclude
right.
it.
That's
so
important.
So it's a simple, and we don't need to make mountains out of molehills, but it's a simple point
right.
that made it however one chooses to make it.
Yep.
All right, so are we going to have copies of the ordinance there to hand out if people want them?
I can. I hate printing things, but I can.
It's
fine.
Or just the flowchart. I mean,
I don't know. I can print the flowchart too. That's
flow
fine.
Chart's fine. Don't be a whole ordinance. It's online.
And then you're going to make. Then you're going to, as comfortable as you know, you are, make a comment to say, here's what the ordinance allows, or whatever.
I'll bring copies of the flowchart, and yeah, I mean, if the chairman wants to ask me to explain the decision at hand, or you know, the question at hand, and what some of the options are, I can do that.
Yeah, I think the distinction is it makes sense to talk about the purpose of the meeting and what actions we can take, as opposed to explaining all of the potential eventualities under the ordinance, including appeals and all that other stuff.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I think that goes well beyond what someone in the audience is going to be interested in doing. They're probably going to be more interested in, based upon what we've said, what can you guys do? And I think that's perfectly appropriate.
And we've kind of boiled it down to three options, and I know that that's been a question of contention too, but I mean, I think it's really the option of issuing the certificate of appropriateness. That's option A. And then sort of option C is denying or withholding the certificate of appropriateness and issuing the delay for the full 6 months. And then the in-between is something less than 6 months for
based upon conditions.
Whatever reason. No reason at all, a condition, whatever.
And,
right,
the agreement of the owner, right? Because that's the thing you've emphasized over and over. He has to agree.
Conditional.
Contingent
conditions, is that?
Yeah,
whatever.
I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So,
contingent on his accepting certain conditions.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Because in any case where that happens, it would be contingent on the conditions or run the full gamut of the 6 months.
Right.
So,
right, cool.
Is everybody comfortable with that explanation?
Or he appeals.
Totally.
Okay.
Or he appeals it.
Correct. Under options B and C, he could appeal to the village board.
Well, he can, appeal, to me, it strikes me as different in kind from the three options. I mean, the three options are what we are our options, what we're entitled to do at
what
the meeting.
What we can do.
Yeah.
And that's one of the potential actions as a result of our action.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. Okay. I'm comfortable doing that. I think that's fine. So we can do that after maybe lay down the ground rules.
Okay.
And yeah, like I said, I would just be, don't make a decision you're not comfortable making, but, you know, use whatever time you guys need, and we'll make sure the process follows that.
Sounds good.
Just for grins, guys, I spent half the day and drew up a possible scheme to save this house. I don't know what to do with it. We're going to have to take a look at it.
Let's
all.
Put it in the record.
Well, yeah.
I mean it.
Let's look at it. It's pretty rough, but it's not. Okay.
Is this for our side?
Yeah. It gets a 4-bedroom living, dining, great room, kitchen, 3.5 bath.
You decide.
I'll
just look over your shoulder.
You've got pieces.
With not doing a whole lot of mess to the thing.
Is the driveway...
Flip the driveway to the other side and put permeable pavers down.
Can we talk about what page and so on that we were all the same on? This is the big one?
is the plan.
David, did you figure out that you could put the driveway on that side? Because I thought the argument was that it would damage the roots of the trees.
That's bull crap.
You don't believe that.
No, you can put permeable pavers down, let water go through. There's a sidewalk that goes across there.
Yeah, I have no idea what the concern
Even if that were the case, I'd rather lose a tree than lose a house. Put it that way.
But did you move that?
Put the curb cut. No, house stays just where it is. Put the driveway the other side.
Right. Yeah. Is it a small addition on the back?
Yeah, a 16, 17 foot addition on the back, and then 6 feet out to the lot to the setback on the side to get a new entry, bigger dining room, and a covered, kind of a covered porch there for the entry, in order to drop off people when they drive up. And then a new garage in the back.
Pretty cool.
Is that garage, is it tapped? No, it's not
tapped. No, it's detached.
No.
So the garage would have to move to the back of the property line because it has to be torn down and rebuilt, right?
Yeah, it should be. Right now it's not in the rear yard. So it puts it in the rear yard where it belongs. It gives you almost a 40-foot yard there, I think, which is a nice big backyard.
By 40 is
Do you have a scan that you can send me? I can't
scan that size. I can 11 by 17 and scan it and break it up and scan it to you and send it to you.
Either
yeah.
way, or I can run up and scan it when we're done.
Okay,
here, so, yeah.
okay.
So you move the entrance to the other side along with the, and how much is this changing the interior?
You know, it's amazing how many of those walls and windows stay right in place. It
you really kind of do it. It's this big room, this great room that you're creating.
Yeah.
That you're moving walls.
Mm-hmm. Everything else stays. I put
this
it.
This is second floor, right?
Yeah. Second floor brings that center wall back that they took out to make the two bedrooms up front. Brings that access back that was there originally. Close up a few doors to make and adds another bathroom across the hall at the other portion. It's an ensuite or a hallway access, compartmentalized bath with a sink and a door for a toilet and a shower.
Would this tear off the front and tear off the back and rebuild them, or no?
Would not tear off anything, just add to the back. Yeah.
Just add to the back.
It also puts two steps up to the great room for the master suite to get a 10-foot high ceiling. In the great room, that can be an 8-foot high ceiling. It's like in my back room, I have a close to 10-foot high ceiling versus 8-foot ceilings throughout the rest of the house. You see some steps in that hallway on the second floor that go up. And it's just a little rough, but it at least satisfied me to the fact that, boy, this, why do you have to tear this thing down?
Yeah, it's doable.
It's very doable.
Appreciate all the efforts, Dave.
Yeah, this is great. The other thing that satisfies me along similar lines is the long list of houses that were in a similar or worse shape that were restored to their original grandeur within River Forest, never mind the larger community.
Where is that list that you're talking about?
I'm not referring to a one particular or formal list, rather the long list. List that there is, each of us could name.
Yeah. I think we got a letter from Mark Zinni who had remodeled 10 of these things.
Could we get that from him, the addresses, I wonder?
At one point he estimated more than 10. I don't know that he's ever specified which ones.
Yeah.
I can, Mark Witt's the kind of leader of the group over there, I can ask him to get that from Mark. He's the only thing I got the letter from Mark initially, I think.
Mark to show up.
Yeah.
There were other options that I know people were talking about, like seeking another purchaser or any of, you know, those kinds of things. Has anything made progress on that respect?
Dave's been in touch with Landmarks. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, I've talked to the advocacy director of Landmarks Illinois. Two things are going on. One, they're doing a blast to all of their members in the area. Alerting them of a public hearing next Tuesday. Secondly, they're also looking at what they have to suggest to us as possible other alternatives. Obviously, getting someone to purchase the property from the current developer owner with a view toward augmenting the current house rather than tearing it down is probably preferable from a preservation standpoint. So, yeah, I've got some ongoing discussions with Landmarks Illinois in that regard.
Could I ask if the village keeps a list of developers or contractors who do rehab on properties like this to kind of put out a
not to that specifics, right?
We could probably contact Cliff and just ask him.
Yeah, anybody
who he thinks might be.
I mean, somebody like Mike Rule, who I know buys properties and rehabs.
So we did, and I think Tom's aware of this. The village president met with two members of the Frank Lloyd Wright Building Conservancy to see if they had any efforts that they could share. They reached out to a couple in Oak Park that they knew of, and one in Glencoe, architects/developers, just to mention this was going on, see if they could get anybody to come walk through or offer opinion or anything on that. But yeah, Cliff could be another resource. I know we him and I have talked about Marty Zinni before, but as that, we can chat.
And these other choices that are being looked at, they sound like they're going to take time to evolve or to.
Yeah, and that's what the intent of the demolition delay
to explore alternatives.
So we won't know anything. That nobody
we don't have,
to stand up
we don't have any answers
and
to
say, I'm really interested in
correct.
What I've heard from the commission.
Who knows? That could happen.
Never say never, but that the efforts are in the spirit of a delay extending up to a certain month without putting a finite number on it in order to explore, because you don't want to preclude something if discussions are ongoing. And you can also, I would think, you can also agree at any point in time if, as a commission, we wished to enter into a consent agreement with the developer, that we could shorten the delay in return for a commitment to execute certain items. But we're not setting an upfront limit, because that really doesn't serve the discussion process. I mean, the whole thing, it's essentially designed, and I think it explicitly uses the phrase good faith, to just figure it out and to try to look at it in the best interest of the community.
Cool. Well, I mean, Dave, this thing that you did is probably the single most
it's powerful.
Interesting yeah. thing that has mm-hmm. come to light.
Yeah.
I don't think this is insignificant.
Yeah.
What would you think about submitting this to the developer, like, before the meeting?
That'd be fine. Actually, if you can scan it, John.
To me, that's kind of talk about good faith. I mean, this is like, okay,
yeah.
you've kind of come to us, with, a supposed open, open mind. Here's something for that mind to consider.
Find it when you want with it.
Yeah, it's extraordinary.
Do we have any sense, based on your experience, doing a remodeling of this level versus tearing it down, and let's say building this, right? Let's say he mm-hmm. says, I love this, but you know what? I'm going to tear it down and build this. What would cost more, remodeling or a tear down and build?
Tear down and rebuild. I can reuse some of the foundations here. I can reuse the floor structure. I can reuse a lot of the walls. Window openings are there. It's framed. Certainly more to tear it down and rebuild.
The windows aren't framed, are they?
I put new windows in, but the openings are there, headers are there.
The headers aren't there, right?
They could be put in, but you have to strip everything off the inside anyway, insulate and get to the framing.
Could that be a selling point to the developer in terms of?
I assume he talked to his architect at that point with it.
Could you maybe attach like a spitball one page? Okay, it's going to cost $250 a square foot.
I could do a breakdown.
To do this.
Renovated square foot versus new kitchen, all the cabinetry stuff. I could do that, yeah.
Just real quick, just mm-hmm. kind of, this is where I think that would be.
Okay.
Do you want me to wait to send this to him until I have that, or do you want me to go ahead and put your cloth in the morning? Up to you.
Go ahead and do that with this, and I'll try to put that together. I'll get to it tomorrow. What else?
When I send this to him, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
That way
yeah.
you can show share whatever you think.
Okay.
This is awesome, Dave.
I look at it and see a lot of things I could like to add to it, but.
Well, it's a
start. It's enough to, I just want to see if what the house could yield, what the lot could yield, and I was kind of satisfied at that point with that, yeah, it can be.
Cool.
That's under 3,000 square feet, not counting the basement. That's 28,000 square foot addition, 2,875 square feet total. So it's a nice, not a huge house, not a big package, but it would be four bedrooms, everything you need for a house. So I can get a mudroom in there, but everything else.
Cool. Anything else we want to discuss?
Can I just throw in something? This is kind of far out. The possibility of getting homeowners on the 700 block of William to purchase this property and then rehab it. Now, I'm saying this because when Tony and I moved to Oak Park in 1980, we bought a house on the one block west of Austin and two blocks south of Madison, which had been purchased 5 or 6 years earlier by a bunch of people to rehab and
to save
the house, but it was basically to prevent more white flight from that area. And they did a really good job, and you know, the neighborhood is certainly stabilized in those 37 years now. And, you know, they took it upon themselves to do that. And if they had architectural plans and were willing to invest, and then I'll throw something out even crazier, if you have something like Community Bank, maybe interested in giving a very low cost mortgage loans, because I know they do it for a lot of rehabs in River, not a lot, but some in River Forest. I mean, I don't even know where to go with this, but just.
I think I overheard Mark Witt talking to Mr. Sarvis. If he's interested, if the community bought the house from him, I don't know where that went, but I know I overheard him asking that in the last meeting, so.
Okay.
It's already on their radar.
Right.
Rob
okay.
does maintain that he's willing to hear offers on the home. So.
He has said that. I know in public,
mm-hmm.
I've heard him say
that. We've had that conversation.
Oh, yeah.
It's
a public conversation.
Yeah.
Just get off his back.
It's a good idea, Carl. It's worthy of something. It's
complicated, but
it's
very
all
complicated.
But what it is it's all within the spirit of trying to, you know, play the Rubik's Cube of twisting
mm-hmm.
things around to see what solution, even an unconventional solution or a cutting edge
yeah.
solution, can do that satisfies everybody concerned. Right?
And certainly with Dave's sketches, which he doesn't think are that great, but I think they're fabulous. You know, to give people the idea that this can be saved. Here's an architect who says this house can be saved. Here's my shot at it.
Okay.
So,
while we're talking about crazy ideas, I'm going to advance another one that
sure.
I mentioned before, and people just look at me like I'm crazy. I think if River Forest is really interested in saving some historical homes, one of the things they can do. And I think maybe the citizens are there concerned enough, but to put up some public money into a fund. It could be, don't mention taxes, I know that's bad, but through a small tax, create a fund which could be used to purchase something like this, obviously not a $2 or $3 billion or $4 million house. But that's not out of the realm of possibility if you think that's important enough to save these houses. What would be wrong with having the public have some skin in the game? I don't see anything wrong with that idea. You could say, well, that's a ridiculous idea, forget it, okay. But if you're really concerned,
I think
that's something we could do.
But I think the reality is we barely got this ordinance
passed
through the village a year and a half ago.
Yeah, there's a lot of discussion and compromise that ultimately came to a near unanimous approval, but it involved a lot of discussion and compromise.
But the point, you know, is, and you and I have talked about this, Dave, that there certainly seems to be a little bit more positive.
Yes, there is.
Perception. I mean, we're just kind of giving you the history. Of,
no, yeah,
you
know, I appreciate that. Thing.
Here's why we're here today, with unable to kind of stop this from happening.
Yes,
is because we were basically beaten back to the position that we took.
Given the fact that until a year and a half, 2.5 years ago, whatever, we were at a standstill where our powers were purely advisory. And some owners, few, certainly the minority, chose to flatly ignore us. Those, however, that chose to discuss with us have, I think, you know, you never say universally, but pretty darn close, have commented that those discussions were valuable in terms of providing well thought out, in many instances, money saving alternatives that retained character to the home, which only results in the prospect of an increased sale price the time it comes for them to sell the home. So that I think through the good efforts on everyone on the commission, now and prior commission members, I think the community has come to trust us in terms of where we're coming from, that we're stewards of some aspects of the community, but we're not zealots. And to that end, I think that there's a broad consensus that this really is a good idea. And I think we've seen that in some of the public comment, both in terms of at the time we were successful in amending the ordinance to include at least the ability to postpone potential demolitions in order to discuss alternatives, and where people in the commented you should have gone farther. And we've since heard that from people as part of this and other similar things since the ordinance was amended. So, yeah, I think there's favorable ground for that to explore the role of preservation in the community. And I think, you know, we're part of that process. People have come to understand where we're coming from.
I think it's a great idea. But I think it's... Good ideas.
This is not the time.
It's a direction. It's a direction to point it.
It's a little early.
Yeah.
All right. Public's not ready to hear that yet.
Okay.
But if we all pitch in another...
raise our taxes, which we could no longer
do. Ever had food there. Well, 700 block, is that anxious? Maybe I'll buy it. And who knows, there might be some people who are willing to throw in with them who don't live on the 700 block. You know, that would be something that they would seriously consider. There are people who would throw in with them.
Set up a GoFundMe.
Yeah, no. It's very doable.
Okay, so I think we're ready for this meeting? We feel good? We feel like we've gotten everything out on the table?
Who's getting the donuts and the coffee for us?
Well, we do have some other business, and I think we do need to put on the record thanking Commissioner Pritz for bringing holiday bread to the meeting.
The whole $7. So.
Thank you.
You guys had a small lunch. Very well appreciated.
It's delicious.
I have one other business. 720 Keystone. It's contingent.
But do we know whether it's a developer who's going to nuke
it? That's what I was going to ask John, if he's heard anything.
I don't know. I can look.
Okay.
That's the huge house on the west side of Keystone, just north of the E. Roberts.
Log cabin attic.
Okay. Call for adjournment.
Second.
Third. Motion.
Aye.
Thanks.
December 5th, next Tuesday, Lincoln School.
Right.